Good morning. Hi. Hello. Some response back just so that I know that you're not asleep. Good, good, good. We're all here to find out about Visio, yeah? It's good, just in case anybody here thought they were coming to Visual Studio. There's one leaving the room. No. Because people do get muddled up sometimes between Visio and Visual Studio. Yeah. See? Always good to check. We want to manage people's expectations properly. So, first of all, good morning. My name is Ian White. I am the regional lead for Visio and Project in Western Europe. I'll be going through some stuff with you today. And what I like to do to start off with is to do some data visualization and do it on the hoof. And what we mean by that is you all need to stand up. So if you'd be so kind as all to stand up. That was everybody, including those at the back. I can see you, just about. Right. If you have never, ever used Visio in your life, sit down. Great. All look round. Nobody has sat down. So that means you all know Visio to some extent. Please sit down. Thank you very much. Now, that is the beauty of a picture. I can explain that picture to you in a space of about 10 seconds, the fact that nobody here has ever not used Visio. But I could have gone round and asked you one by one, and that would have taken the whole of the time that we have for the presentation today. And that is the power of images. Images have been used to convey information since, well, since humans first became sapiens. So that was our way of being able to communicate where the food was, or where the women were, or where the men were, depending on what you're looking for. So, there we go. So we're going to look at some of the benefits, we're going to look at some of the capabilities, we'll do a little bit of demo. And at the very end, for those of you who have yet to receive the magic orange badge, band, the band to party with, for those who ask the best questions at the end, there is an orange band just for you. So, why? What's it all about? Well, we invest a lot, whether it's being on-premise or in the cloud, in SharePoint. We put our documents, we put our spreadsheets, we put our processes, we put various stuff into SharePoint. And one of the things we want to do is to be able to have people use Visio in a collaborative way. And so what SharePoint and Visio services do allow us to work together on diagrams, to publish diagrams so that all of our organization can see it, to have version control so we can see which version of diagrams we're using. Very important when you're talking about business process. It allows us to keep copies in a managed way so that we can see which ones we're using at any moment in time. And the great thing about it is that with Visio services today, it's just a modern browser. You know, we don't have to worry about installing anything on people's desktops as long as they can access SharePoint and you have the right licensing, then the diagrams that we save there are going to be visible to them. It also means that irrespective of what sort of device you're using today, if you're using some sort of tablet, whether it be a Microsoft tablet or an Android or an Apple tablet, as long as you have a modern browser on there, so you'll be able to see the diagrams and interact with them as necessary. And of course, it's a consistent user interface. So the diagram you can see on the screen at the moment is one which basically is combining multiple layers of data, objects in the form of, in this case, you can see the assembly line there highlighted in the center. And you'll notice that we've got iconography that shows that there's a cross there, which means there's a problem. And that problem is coming from data which is being pumped into Visio and Visio services, either through an SQL link or through an ODBC link, or somewhat, in some way, shape, or form. And depending on how you set up the system will depend how frequently you will refresh that data. Okay? One down. Still got the rest of you. The doors are locked after this one, so you can't get out. Okay. So when we publish a diagram, obviously we can publish it through to SharePoint or to OneDrive and share it in that way. The data that way, our users are always got the latest version of the diagram, and as I said before, the data can be refreshed on an automated basis. And so in this situation, we can see the assembly line. That's maybe integrated with some sort of web services or JavaScript to other web parts on the page. And depending on what you want to do, you can pull in maybe a list, or you can pull in some information from some other source. There's some really good examples there of integration with data coming from stock prices. You know, there are many web services that you can access and create your diagrams from. Okay, so what we're going to do is go on to a little demo, and I'm going to, I've had a little problem with my cookies, so hopefully this will be okay, but we'll live dangerously. I'll make sure I switch to the right one. Obviously not. Yeah, that's the one. So here we have a demo site that is my demo site. I do Project and Visio, so I normally use Project for this, but this site. But I've got a Visio site collection here, sub-site. And if I open up this particular document, so let's just open it up in the browser. That's not the right one. There we go. So here we have a flow diagram, fairly straightforward swim lanes chart. And you can see here that this is actually being presented through Visio services. I'll just refresh it. There we go. And I can do things like I can make comments against it. So if I wanted to add some comments, is this needs changing. Oops. Well, that will, there we go. Thank you. That's very helpful. So, obviously, it's checked out, so I can't get in and make the changes, which is a bit of a shame. But I think you get the general idea of what we can do there. Now, that's all well and good. There we go. That was bound to happen because of the changes of cookies. All right, let's just try that again. Those of you who were sitting watching me before, you were seeing me fighting with the security to get this working just before. So we'll try again. Just hopefully get this to work properly. Okay, I don't want to do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how we take a simple diagram like that, and then we link it to data. And we'll do that as we move through the presentation. And hopefully by that time, we will have sorted out the security thing. It will have worked out which cookies I'm using. Now, when we choose to, when we render, in the old version of Visio, we had a choice between using Silverlight or using PNG. In the new version, we only use PNG because it's we don't have any issues with add-ins and stuff like that. So it's much, much more reliable in terms of cross-browser support. The other thing was, in 2010, we had two different formats. We had a format for the sort of the old non-SharePoint version, and we had a format that we needed if we were going to publish it through SharePoint 2010. In 2013, we've moved forward to a single format in order to, you know, just not have all the hassle of deciding which version we want to keep it in. There was no real difference between the formats, except the way the blob was stored on the disk. So we've effectively just made that more consistent. Essentially, for people who are reading the diagrams or looking at the diagrams, apart from having the appropriate SharePoint Enterprise CAL or the SharePoint Online 2 plan, there is nothing else that they need to worry about. If you've got an E3 or an E4, if you've got eCALs or similar, then you've got automatic access to the Visio services piece. As I said before, whether you're mobile or whether you're using the rich client, you've got that capability. Within the browser, you can manipulate the diagram to some extent. You can pan it, you can zoom in, or you can lock those things out. You know, as the publisher, you've got a choice as to what people can do with the diagrams when they see them. And also you have a thing which we call shape data. And those of you who have ever linked a Visio diagram to data will know that within each object, there's a whole bunch of data repositories that you can publish, and you can let people see that data if you so wish. So, for example, it may be an asset tag number or something like that. We also got the ability to overlay a hyperlink within the with an object. So if you click on an object, it will take you to another drawing or it will take you to a document, depending on what you're trying to achieve with the diagram. Natively, to have this data integration, the ability to dynamically update, that's only available using SharePoint, whether it's on-premise or in the cloud. You can publish to HTML. You can publish the diagrams in all sorts of formats. But to have the interactivity, then you need to have SharePoint in the equation. When we talk about linking Visio to data, which we'll do shortly, people tend to think of it as coming from one source. But the reality is that you can have multiple sources linking to a particular shape. So in the diagram that we see at the moment, we see, for example, the assembly line, which has simply got a flag on it, which is whether it's OK or it's not OK. But you've got another icon there where you see the supplier and what they're supplying, which in this case is crankshafts. And this may be coming from multiple data sources. So a diagram is effectively a place to consolidate data and allow different data to refresh and then give your diagram more meaning. There is a limit. Obviously, the more you put on there, you're going to affect performance to some extent. But typically, sort of three or four data sources is not uncommon. The way the shape actually behaves, for example, the cross or the green flag or the data that's displayed, is controlled by the data. So effectively, you set up rules. You can be more sophisticated than that. You can use the API. But for simple integration, you can use rules that will say, if a value is a certain amount, change the icon to an X. If the different value from a different source, turn the color of the spanner to red. You know, there's all sorts of different things that you can do with the iconography. It's very difficult to say. The iconography based upon the data that's coming into the system. Obviously, with the WebPark connections, the standard SharePoint ability to link a specific shape to a particular other shape on a page, That's very straightforward. But those of you who have JavaScript skills, you can intercept and you can do all sorts of clever stuff using JavaScript overlaid on top of a diagram. My JavaScript skills can be written on the back of a postage stamp, but I'm sure that many of you here are much more skilled in it than I am. In fact, I have no skill at all. So the architecture is fairly straightforward. As I said before, we've got various back-end sources, and that's increasing all the time. We're going to be seeing some new sources coming along as we come to new releases of Visio going forward. And typically the one that is missing at the moment, for those of you who use SharePoint in the cloud on a regular basis, is of course OData, which we should see coming along soon. The documents are stored in this VDW format. The VDW format is this common format within Visio. Visio, the current Visio 2013, will understand old versions of diagrams and will convert them to VDW format and can write back old versions if necessary. The only thing that's worth noting is that there are, as you know, two versions of Visio. There's Visio Standard and Visio Professional. Visio Standard essentially does not do the data connections. So if you want to do data linking, you have to use the Visio Professional client if you buy it in the old on-prem way, or you have to subscribe to Visio Pro for Office 365, essentially the same thing, but just bought in a different model. And that will allow the data linking. But that's separate to the graphics service. The graphics service is a function of SharePoint enterprise functions, and that is something that as long as you have the right version of SharePoint, whether it's in the cloud or on-premise, so that it will allow you to render these diagrams. And so, and at the top there, you can see that at the front end, you've got the Visio web access, but also you can set up Webpack connections. We've got a JSON and API integration as well. So in many respects, if you've got particular extended things that you want to do with Visio, there is an interface that will meet your particular needs. It's very, very flexible, very capable in many respects. So the VSDX format, I did say VDW format, I meant VSDX, is the latest version. Before we had VSD and VDW, and that's all combined now in VSDX. It's using open standard packaging conventions with the rest of the Office family. And whether you're using Visio Standard or Visio Pro, they both understand the V and write the VSDX format. PNGs will be generated by Visio on the fly from the diagrams. You don't worry about that when you're creating a diagram. And give you really good rendering if you need to zoom in to, you know, have a really close inspection of a particular object. VSDX, as I basically said to you before, supports everything that we've always needed to support inside Visio. It is totally rich from that perspective. The most important part here, and it's a part that we are considering how we're going to change, so it's something that is being worked on at the moment by Corp and Engineering, which is the fact is that the Visio diagram itself, the one you saw in the browser before, is only available as a read-only object. It will change based upon data, but the only change that you can make to it from the browser is the comments, which, as you saw me, fail abysmally to update. Doesn't matter. The general principle is that that works. It's only read-only. You can't draw in the browser. Now, it is my expectation, but there is no promise, that that will change, that some drawing capabilities will be made available in some way in the browser over the development horizon. Exactly when it will deliver, I don't know. And how much we make available in the browser, again, that's something which has been discussed, because as you can imagine, you know, we don't really want to cannibalize our own revenue because that would mean that we couldn't invest in the product going forward. So things will happen in that direction, but what precisely and when, that's, you know, watch this space, as they say. So we're very conscious of that. It's being actively looked at, and hopefully there'll be a roadmap coming up along quite soon, which we'll be able to publish to explain to people what's going to be happening to Visio in terms of new features and capabilities and Visio services as well. Now, data linking is a very straightforward process. It does say import data into your diagram. Well, the answer is it doesn't actually import it. Well, it caches it, but the reality is it really links the data to the diagram. It doesn't import it, because that means that obviously you've got to refresh it. And when you refresh it, you need to refresh the cache. So I tend to talk about it as linking rather than importing, although obviously for rendering purposes, the data has to be in the diagram. Effectively, when you create the link, it automatically will create shape data placeholders for the data that you're linking. And you can see in that window there where we've linked to some external data. What it's done is automatically created the fields within the objects. Oh, I forgot I'm not actually on that my screen. One of these is the laser. Yeah. So what we can see here is the product unit has created a field over here called product unit. The object itself may not have had product unit in it, when we created it. By the mere act of linking, it will create it to prepare the placeholder to receive the data. So what we can see here on this page is the styling of the standard iconography. Got it right first time that time. The standard of the iconography that we present within Visio. And now you can do other things as well, but this is out of the box. So if I'm connected to data, you can see at the top there, I can flag the objects using those different data sets. So these ones here, there we go. We've sort of enhanced those in 2013 from 2010. There's actually more than that. That's just a sample of what's available. You may choose that you want to surface actual text from some data. And again, we've got some various text items we can surface, or different various styles, shall we say. And the specific layouts can be configured themselves as to whether or not you have the label, or whether you have the value, whether you have the underline, and various things that you can do to make it look presentable. Over here we have the various data bars that we can use: speedometer, thermometer, star ratings, various other things, progress bars and whatnot. Again, obviously you'll choose for the data that you want to surface which of these are relevant. And often the most useful ones are these ones here at the bottom, a simple color by value. If the number is this, make the object look red. If the value is something else, make the object look green. And at the top there, you can see 55% efficiency, red. Maybe 75% efficiency, green. You know, and you can do this very, very, very simple wizard interface if you wish to do so. So as we, as you can see here, there is, a discrepancy. There's a difference between what you can do on-prem and what you can do in the cloud. And the limitations in the cloud are often to do with the whole security model of the cloud. And as I said before, my expectation is that the bottom there, the Office 365 connections will increase significantly. Obviously, you know, if you've got external lists, BCS is going to give you visibility of those within Visio. But I do suspect, I do expect to see OData on the bottom there as well. Obviously, if you're using on-prem or if you have SharePoint in Azure, then you've got the ability to connect to many more things natively. And you just have to obviously decide what's best for you. Often translating some data into an Excel services list is the easiest thing to do and have that refresh on a periodic basis. It really depends on the frequency of data refreshing, what approach you're going to take. But this area, I do see that growing quite substantially, and hopefully we'll see that through some interim updates moving forward. I know you're taking pictures of it, but of course this is available for you to download as well, so that's there. So let's have a look, and hopefully this will work with a degree of ease compared to the last vain attempt. We're going to create a data link diagram. It may or may not publish through to SharePoint, but it will give us, I'll basically have to show you what's going on. Okay, good old Visio. Fairly straightforward. I'm starting with a blank diagram because it's easiest to show you what's going on. Now, for those of you who may not use this on a frequent basis, there's something on here that I've got that you may not have, and that is this developer tab. Does anybody not, who doesn't have the developer tab on their Visio? Just one person? Everybody else has a developer tab? No, two or three people. Everybody has access to the developer tab. So if you don't know where it is, because I'm going to come back to this, if we, I'll just show you, this is on the file, options, and then if we go to advanced, lots and lots of options in advance, and right almost at the very bottom is run in developer mode. And this is an incredibly useful feature, and I'll show you why as we move towards the end of the presentation. So what I'm going to do is I am going to go to a stencil, and what I'll do is I'll start with a new diagram, and we'll take one with, let's find basic network diagram. Okay. A server. So far, so good. Now, this object from this particular stencil has attributes associated with it. And I can see those attributes by simply coming on here, going to data, clicking on shape data window, and over here, you can see the shape data window has opened up. And I could put on some stuff about this if I wanted to. This is quite a hard way, but you could document your I could give it asset number one. Let's keep it simple. Come down here, serial number 123, location XYZ, and so on and so forth. Now, down here, having done that, I'll switch off the shape data window. I'm not aware of the fact that that data is there, but it is there. And actually, if I go through to this thing we call data graphics, and I edit the data graphic, I can create a new item, and I can pull in the asset number and display it as text. And then we'll do it, you saw those values before. We'll take it as a heading, and we'll just click OK and OK. And there you can see the one. I haven't done anything terribly clever to configure it at this point in time. And so immediately you can start to see surfacing the data that's attached to the object is not a difficult thing to do. But putting that all in manually, well, that's a real pain. So in that same data tab that we had, or we have here, we have this object which says link data to shapes. Now, whether you're using Visio Pro or Visio Professional, the data that you can link to is the same. The difference, and I'll just remind you, is that when you publish to SharePoint, if you publish to SharePoint online, those items that are server-based, such as ODBC on there, the connection will be saved and will be updated. But if I publish the same diagram with ODBC connection through to SharePoint Office 365, then it won't do that. It won't update that connection. So if you want to ensure that your Office 365 versions do the update, you have to make sure you're using SharePoint lists or Excel services. But for the purpose of demo, I'm just going to use a plain, boring old Excel. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this just to make sure I get to the right place. I have a workbook here in this on my hard drive. I use this one on a regular basis. I just want to copy this to the clipboard, and then I'm going to open it up in Excel. And then we'll just do this. And there's the data that we're going to use. It doesn't matter the fact that it's an Excel list, it just gives you a sense of what it is that we're going to be looking at. And also it allows me to change the data and show you the impact of it. So there's the data set, and you don't have to look at it to see it's quite old. Those of you who've got Server 2000s still running, hold your heads in shame. So what we'll do is we'll go here. I'm just using the wizard to step through this. Because we need to link, we need effectively a key, and the key we're going to use is the name. And now you can see here that, let me just zoom in on the shape a little bit. We can see the data that we've linked to. And at the moment, the data is sitting here and it's linked, but it's not linked to the drawing. Now, I could say that this server here is, in fact, this object here, and I can just overlay it so. And then if I go into my data graphics, what we'll do is we want to edit the data graphic on there. And what's going to happen in this situation is there's a whole bunch of other things there. So maybe I'll take the internet address, apply that, and now I've got the internet address on there. Now, we can see we've got some other ones. And as long as I've got the server highlighted, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to just pull up maybe these three devices, just for the simplicity's sake. Drag those onto the desktop. And you can see immediately it knows the fact that I'm surfacing that particular data part. Let's just move them over here. So now we're linked to the data. Let's do some interesting things. We can see here, for example, we've got some interesting information about the owners and their status. So first of all, I'm going to add the owner on there. So I'm going to take this object, and I'm going to edit the data graphic. I'm going to add a new item, and we'll pick up the admin. And then we'll display that as text. We'll do that as, text. And we'll do it as a call out, and I'm going to change it into the center and below the shape. I'm going to say I don't want the label. I don't really care about that. So I'm going to say that's not shown. Apply. And OK. And there we can see the various individuals that own these devices. I'm going to do one other change now, which really gives you a sense of what's possible. I'm going to go here and say, you don't have to do this one at a time. I'm just doing this one at a time to show you. I'm going to say, this time, if I take the status, and I'm going to use color by value, and I'm going to say if it's active, I'm going to make it green, and if it's inactive, I'm going to make it red. And we'll click apply. And so immediately, you're starting to make the diagram massively more useful. So I'm starting to really give some indications as a dashboard in this particular case of the status of my equipment. Now, as I said before, when we refresh this, so if I go here and I take the 1050.1 device, top one, if I make that inactive now, just save that, just imagine this is a database update going in the background. Over here in my diagram, I can set the refresh to either do it manually or set it to do on a periodic basis, so on time. And this is also true on the server side. I can change the frequency. So what we'll do is we'll just do a refresh. And so I now have two red devices. The last thing I'm going to show you is, as I said before, I can link this to other data. So I can pull up a hyperlink diagram, and I could, if I wanted to, simply put in here w dot. But this also could be a SharePoint page, or it could be another diagram. And now when I roll over the page, you can see the icon has changed to a hyperlink icon, or a hyperlink mouse. And if I control click, it will launch, in this case to Microsoft, or it will launch a document, or it will launch another page. It's down to you. When I publish this document to SharePoint, which may be a bit problematic at this precise moment in time, but we'll try. So we'll say, network. We'll try, we'll see how it goes. I'm keeping my fingers crossed at this precise moment in time. One of the problems, it's always a challenge when you're at Microsoft because you have, obviously we're using Internet Explorer and our cookies are aligned to our corporate account. And when you're using the demo account, sometimes these things get a little bit confused in their usage. While it's thinking about that, it may well come up and prompt me for my credentials, but even so, if it doesn't, it will publish up to the SharePoint site. So on a good day with the following winds, it will appear here in this list, and then essentially I'll basically open this. It will be a different diagram. It will render, as we saw before, bad day at the office. Did I do that? I've upset it now. Oh, that's good. So there you can see the versioning. It's actually doing the upload. Oh, that's brilliant. So let's just move back to the list. There it is. Yes. Hopefully it won't take too long to load up. There we go. And now we see the diagram rendered in Visio. I was panicking a bit. And you can see here the... I can zoom in onto it, and we don't really get any pixelation on it. If I click on the shape info, as I said before, we can see the asset numbers or whatever it is that we've got associated with that particular object. And as you can see also, the hyperlink is operational as well. So that's worked quite nicely. Oops. So let's move on. Get the right thing. So what you saw there essentially was this. This is the schematic of it. Very much create the diagram in Visio, make the linking, save it to the server. The server then will render it to the user and will do the update. In my case, I wasn't doing that because I was using a source on my hard drive, but normally it would do the update depending on whether you're doing SharePoint online or on-premise, and then it will re-render it. You have to edit the diagram, though. If you want to change the shapes, the position, or anything like that, you have to edit that within the actual Visio client. So for those of you who know Visio or use it on a semi-regular basis, this is a really, really easy thing to do. And you know, you can, it's a really great way of publishing information inside an organization. It is by no means competing with our other products, with PowerView or the various other BI tooling we have. It has its own value inside an organization. It renders things in a way that's extremely flexible and, you know, can very much relate to the experience that people have with inside your organization. The nice thing about it is there is an API, and if you want to build things which are more sophisticated, you can do so. Right, so the last thing I wanted to show you So what I'm going to do is we're just going to close. Well, we'll do it here. I'm going to show you some of the a couple of things associated with the power of the developer tab. So I'm going to change the orientation of the page to landscape. There we go. And what I'm going to do is I want to close off all these other windows which I don't need right now. So I'll close that. Close that. Close that. Maximize that. Okay, I think that's the only one I've got open. So I'm just going to take two shapes. I'm going to create a rectangle, and I'm going to create an ellipse. There we go. Fairly straightforward, nothing terribly exciting about that. But supposing I have an organization that has specific graphical needs, we want to render our information in a way that is our information. So I'm going to go over here to Developer. And what you can see over here are some other controls. And the one that we're going to use is this one here. I'm going to put that on top of each other. I'm going to select both objects. And then over here in operations, we've got some interesting ones here. And the one that I'm going to do here is fragment. And what happens now is that I have created some new shapes based upon the way these shapes intersected. You are completely at liberty to do whatever you want to. The nice thing about these shapes is they are shapes in their own right. So I can actually put them into a stencil and reuse them. I can add data to them in exactly the same way as I do to the ones in the standard templates. And as you can see, there are, you know, you can start to really go to town on this. So if I take this and go here, so we're going to make an interesting shape that looks something like that. And then what I'm going to do is highlight that. Whoops, take my operations, and I'm going to make a union. Wasn't what I wanted to do quite. I wanted to use what? Well, it's now a single object. So that in itself is a new object. That may be a logo or something like that, or some specific piece of equipment. So you can effectively use this in the same way you would use AutoCAD which costs a lot more than this, to do some really sophisticated drawing and various other bits and pieces. Now, I'm not going to ask you a question, but I'm going to basically say to you, Visio is not like PowerPoint. People tend to think when you say, what's Visio like, or it's like PowerPoint. It's not. It's like Excel. And let me explain to you why it's like Excel. Because behind it is a very powerful engine. So I'm going to draw another rectangle for the purposes of demo. And then the other thing you get in the developer mode is this thing called a shape sheet. And each object, every line, every object on the page, has a series of attributes. Here you can see some of them. And so, for example, here, this shape. Let's go back to the pointer. Put the top there, and let's do view. Okay. So I can take that shape, and I can simply say here, I'm going to make a formula. I'm going to say it equals width times 3. So now, that's not very good. okay, let's try another one. Show shape sheet, shape. So I'll do. No, it's page properties. Don't want to do that. Right, let's hopefully, there we go. So what happens now is as I change the sheet, shape, it's effectively locked to those proportions. Now, the shape sheet has loads and loads of attributes. They're all accessible via the API, and you can program them yourselves to do all sorts of clever things. So with that, obviously, all the usual resources that you may wish to have. And what we're going to do now is offer you orange badges for questions. Sir. Yeah.
My external shape is a model, basically, with dimensions that have dimensions. I prefer that in the video, create like beautiful dashboards for the management of the like, I was going to turn up going to stuff like that, which are dynamic. And with the addition of JavaScript that you mentioned before, to control the client, I'm done with the dynamic video on SharePoint.
So I don't quite understand what the question is, sorry. Maybe if you come to the microphone, I'll be able to hear you a bit better, and then I'll be able to respond, and so will everybody else. So I missed what the question was. Is the microphone on?
I don't think it's on.
Okay.
Is it on? Okay. So yeah, basically, I was wondering, you mentioned before about the, you can add an external data model, which in my case is in Excel, and it has time as a dimension. And I can then bring that in, and within the JavaScript web part, can that be linked to control the Visio data sheet on SharePoint?
You can control the shapes from external data through Visio services to some extent, but it wouldn't be through JavaScript. It would be through linking to the data. Mm-hmm. What you could do with that diagram in terms of the way it relates on the page and does other things would be through the JavaScript. So it's a slightly different scenario. But obviously, without seeing the data, it's a bit hard to tell you what you can and what you could do. But theoretically, you could do all sorts of interesting things with that data from your external source.
Okay.
So I can't answer explicitly, but in principle, as an Excel, you can, as long as you save it into a document library in SharePoint, mm-hmm. then you can access it, and as it updates, so the diagram will update as well.
And what about drill down capabilities?
You're not speaking to the microphone, so I can't.
Sorry. And what about drill down capabilities?
Well, drill down, it really will depend upon you providing the links. It's where you want to go in the drill, so as to speak. So mm-hmm. if it's other documents or if it's within the Visio diagram itself, then that's configurable. But and you can actually configure the hyperlink through data as well. But it's just a question of where you're drilling to. But you know, within a diagram itself, you can't drill down in a diagram. You can link to other diagrams.
Yeah, it would eventually be a link, but there is no direct way to make it through Visio. Like, it has to be done manually on every single level that you want to link to.
Yeah, there are some partners that have done some additional stuff around that in terms of managing databases where you put data objects in there and it allows you then to update across multiple objects. That may be a sort of thing that you want to do, but if you want to contact me, the email address on there, and I can give you a link to people who could help you with that if that's what you want to do.
That's okay. Thank you.
Can we get one of these? Any other questions? Sir?
Now, thank you. Visio SharePoint, is it one of
SharePoint
services, or
how can SharePoint be? Okay, the Visio services, the ability to render the diagram, is part of SharePoint Online Plan 2, which is in an E3 or an E4, or Bolt separately. Or if it's on-premise, you have to have a SharePoint server and an eCal because it's part of the advanced services that are in an eCal for SharePoint Enterprise.
So it would be on-premise SharePoint
services, right? Yes, it's part of the SharePoint services. Yeah, on-premise. Absolutely. There we go. Whoops. Question, sir? I'm sort of sympathetic to that, and in some respects, I don't know the answer to that question, you know, because I think it varies from organization to organization, what's the best tooling for them. Obviously, when you're building your diagrams, it's, you know, we have the ability to build in a legend that comes automatically from Visio so that people can understand the data, but I think it's your responsibility when you're building a diagram that people are going to share as a dashboard to tell them where the data is coming from as part of the building that diagram. Whether you can do that with other tools, I don't know, but of course it's very easy to do with Visio to add some documentation saying this data comes from our sales analysis that's updated once a week or whatever, and maybe put the update date on there. You know, you've got the maximum flexibility with Visio, but it's not Power BI, it's not those other toolings, it's not Power View or Power Map. It has its own specific space. Now, the truth is it will overlap. All these products overlap to some extent. The trick is to actually find the best place. So, you know, if you want to link data, for example, to a business process, so you want to have a visualization of the business process, and you want to see what state that business process is in, so you've got both the business process modeling and the business process automation piece, Visio is fantastic at doing that. Our other tools don't do that so well. So it's a question of having the right tool for the right thing that you're trying to achieve. So the answer to your question is, in some ways, I'm just as confused as you are. But normally, when I'm talking to customers, it's really about finding which is the right tool for the specific goal that they're trying to achieve. It's not much of an answer, I know, but it's the best I can offer you. And if you'd like to come and get one of these, it's available for you. Any more questions? Well, if there are no more questions, I'm going to give you back some of your time. You can go and grab a coffee, meet some friends, go out and party, have a cigarette outside for those of you who still smoke, because some of you do, or anything else that takes your fancy. Please put in the review forms. Please, if you've got any questions, reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help. I may not be able to help directly, but I know everybody in this industry, in the Visio space, that can help you. And we're very interested in your feedback. There is going to be a new roadmap coming out soon for where we're going with Visio. So watch this space to get more information on that. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much and have a great day and enjoy the rest of the conference.